tonight, speaker tonight, Brother Larry Bishop, Portsmouth of Arkansas, the 9th and S Street Church of Christ, where Brother Bishop is the minister there. Tonight he's going to talk about the Bible is right, about obedience. Brother Bishop, it's your time, man.
The Bible is right about obedience. If you don't believe that time belongs to God, think about it has been a complete year since this effort started in 2020. God is in control of time. I want to thank you, Brother Brooks, for that introduction. Also want to take a moment to again thank you and Brother Flounder for yet another invitation and opportunity to be a part of this most significant and historic event for the Church of Christ. I thank God personally for sending the concept or thought of such an effort as the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call into your hearts. I truly believe that we all expected great things when introduced to the idea, but God has once again exceeded all of our expectations in the seed that has been sowed and the fruit that have been already reaped. As we look at this effort personally to me has been a blessing to so many here in Fort Smith where I labor, as well as other areas that the family here have shared this blessing. I personally have been blessed beyond measure by being able to just hear the lessons that have been shared by faithful brethren across the nation as well as outside of the United States. I don't know if I could have received a more thorough and researched set of teaching at some schools of religious studies. The different speakers that have been a part of this blessing have just been incredible over the last year. As I speak about these servants, the level of humility across the board has been a shining example of what the man of God should sound like when he has a servant's heart. The diversity of ethnicity, there's only one race, and that's the human race, and the backgrounds and the culture, while maintaining the oneness of the message of Christ and his church, has been inspirational to me, as well as I believe it has been to you. And I hope it has broken down some walls that should never have existed amongst the people of God in the first place. I say to God be the glory. And let me say briefly to the individual and those who assisted, who put together the flyers that seem to come to life and reach out to you and command your attention and the recordings of the messages, I believe I can speak for all who have been the benefactors of the blessings of this year-long effort. Our hats off to you. And we know you didn't do this to receive any attention. You did it because the Bible says, whatsoever your hands find to do, you sought to do it. But our hats off to you, and we salute you for the professional quality of work and effort you have done behind the scenes from the very beginning. We thank you. My subject this evening for just a few minutes is the Bible is right about obedience. When we look at the collective subjects that have been touched on throughout the last year of this effort, one can easily conclude that if the Bible was wrong on any one subject, then it would ultimately have to be wrong on all of them. But you and I can relax this evening in knowing that the Bible is right because the information came directly from God the Father himself. And because of who he is, it is not even conceivable, it is not even possible for him to be wrong. So as I speak this evening on the subject of obedience, know that what we read and hear from the Bible is and can only be right. Our text for this month, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is right. My text this evening will come from John 14:15, and I won't be long this evening, where Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, depending on where you look and search for information on the definition of obedience, have a lot to do with how you define the word obedience. It's amazing how you can go to different books and different things that purport to offer information and receive different answers. But what I want to look at this evening on the subject of the Bible is right about obedience. When we just simply rely on the word, the way the word obedience is used in the Bible in pretty much every instance it can be found, the simplest way that I can explain it is to say that it means to listen to what God has said and do it. When all is said and done, if you would just listen to what God has said and do it, that is obedience. That is being obedient to God. I remember when I was a child growing up in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, the baby of 10 children, my mama and my daddy would tell us to do something and expect it to get done. I would hear what they said and do it. It was simply called obedience. It was simple, and if I failed to do what they said, it was called a whooping that I would not soon forget. This goes back to in John 14:15, once again, if you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Obedience to the Lord is a manifestation or a showing of our love for him. And if you're going to please the Lord and find favor in his sight, you have to be obedient and live a life of obedience to him. Nothing less will be accepted, and there are serious consequences. Remember that. Remember this. There are serious consequences for not hearing and obeying the Lord. This goes way back in the scripture, way back to the garden and God's first interactions with his creation. In Genesis chapter 2, if you got your Bible, and I pray that you do tonight, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet. Notice, those were not his helpmeets. In verse 21 it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Briefly move forward to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, where it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. Don't allow yourself to get into a long, drawn-out conversation with the devil. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, right? Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now watch this. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. What is happening here? He's gotten into a too long, drawn-out conversation with the devil. And it says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, that piqued her interest. And when the woman saw, how many times had this woman walked by this tree and saw this tree and seen this tree? But now it says when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What has been ushered in here? Sin by way of disobedience. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Remember before, they didn't know they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, we know God knew where Adam was. But he asked a question in order to receive a response from Adam. And he said, I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Well, if that's the case, then there's no problem, right? Wrong. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Oh, okay, well, no problem then, right? Wrong. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, God's getting ready to deal with everybody now. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. God's going to be able to deal with everybody involved, everybody and everything. And it says, and I will put enmity, conflict between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now to the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Still not through. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. What has God done? He has dealt with everybody involved here, because obedience, a sin, came to be. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Everything is changed now. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Everything has changed. Why? Because someone failed to be obedient. They failed to practice obedience. They failed to hear what God said to do and do it. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Verse 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out. Everything has changed because of disobedience. Look at how good things were for man when they practice being obedient to God. And look how things have changed because of disobedience. It says in verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims on his flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. For those who are on the call tonight, friends, members of the body, loved ones, everyone, disobedience is when we hear what God has said and fail to do it. So God held the man accountable for his disobedience. He held the woman accountable for her disobedience. And today, he holds you and I accountable for not being obedient to him. As you look throughout God's word, throughout the Bible, there's account after account. story after story, example after example of individuals all the way up to the nation, all the way up to nations, from individuals to nations who did not render obedience to God the Father or his Son Jesus Christ. They heard what was said, but did not keep with or obey what was said. Now this is to you. If you want to one day, as will happen to all of us, as you stand before the Lord for judgment, the final rendering of the verdict that is directed at you, if you want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you have to now, in this life, render obedience to him, submit your life to him, submit your service to him. Make up your mind that you are going to be obedient to the Lord. Many times we are instructed to do something or asked to do something or directed to do something, and someone says, well, I need some motivation. I need some kind of motivation. It's like an actor who is applying for a part or trying out for a part. They were asked the question of the director in order to get into that script, in order to get into that person that they're going to play. They would say, what's my motivation? Well, let me say this evening. What is the motivation for one rendering obedience to the Lord? Jesus has said it himself. Jesus says it in our text in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And as we drop down to verse 21, Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Your love for God, your love for the Lord ought to be what motivates you to keep his commandments. That's a hard question right there. If you ask somebody, do they love Jesus? And they say, yeah. Do you love the Lord? They say, yeah. Then you say, are you keeping his commandments? They say, hold up a minute. Ask me that again. Do you love the Lord? Yes. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Do you keep commandments? Let me think about that. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John 14, verse 21, as I prepare to close here, it says in verse 21 again, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. What's your motivation? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, that means that you love me. And if you love me, you should be loved of my Father. You don't need any more motivation than that. You can't get any more motivation. So somebody say, well, what's my motivation? The love of God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you love me, and I love you, and you shall be loved of my Father. Jesus says, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas says unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, Jesus goes right back to, if a man love me, Jesus says, he will keep my words. If you love the Lord, you keep his commandments, he will make himself known to you by the way you live your life. He will make your life known to others by the way you live your life through obedience to him. He says in verse 23, Jesus answered, saying unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What more motivation do you need to be obedient? He says in verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. As I prepare to close tonight, this subject that we are talking about tonight, the Bible is right about obedience, can all be summed up from the text that we just heard. If we love the Lord, we ought to love the Lord, then our lives will be lives that are lived in obedience to him. Listen to this. We will live a life that hears and keeps his commandments, a life that hears his words and keeps his words, a life that hears his saying and keeps his sayings. And as I prepare to close, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning at verse 13, real briefly here. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, my time is fleeting. And I know this text, as we move to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 13, I know this text is familiar to most members of the Church of Christ and maybe even to those who are not, but the point here never gets old and will help me to show you the importance of being obedient to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." I can just see that big old grin on Saul's face. He had been commanded to go out and completely destroy the Amalekites, everything about them. Don't bring back any spoil. Destroy any and everything associated with them. He comes back and he has this big smile. I'm just picturing this in my mind now, this big old grin on his face, and he comes to the man of God and said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." In his mind, Samuel says to him, the man of God says to him, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen?" He says, "What's all this stuff I hear? I hear sheep, I hear oxen. Your commandment was to go out and utterly destroy the Amalekites, but I'm hearing all of this, and here you are, this big grin." This is Brother Bishop now saying, talking about this big grin. The Bible says about a big grin. Verse 15, and Saul said, "They," because now he sees things ain't going the way he thought, so now he's starting to shift blame. "They have bought them from the Amalekites for the people," and he just throw them all up under the bus, "for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." But remember, he says in verse 13, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." But now he says, "They have kept these things, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel?" He's talking to the king of Israel now. And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. "And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go." Now this was God's commandment. "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil?" He didn't say anything about bringing back anything in the spoil, but this fly upon the spoil, that's talking about getting the stuff that was left. And he called it, he says, and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Saul, in his mind, he thought he had really obeyed what the Lord had said. And verse 20, as I close, says, and Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have bought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." He's still not getting it. Well, he's saying, "Hey, look what I did, and now listen to what the people did." But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. So he did know what God had said, huh? So in reality, he did know what God said about utterly destroying. He said, "They kept all this stuff to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, listen to this, "Hath the Lord God as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in being obedient or obeying the voice of the Lord?" And he says this, "Behold, is to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the ram." When you put everything else to the side, to be obedient to God outweighs anything else that he could have done by way of the spoils and bringing back the king alive and anything else. By obeying God, being obedient to the Lord, far outweighs all of that, because the Lord expects obedience. And obedience to the Lord is hearing what he says and doing it. and watch what the consequences are, because there's always consequences. In verse 23, 1 Samuel 15, as I close, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected or failed to be obedient to the Lord, to the word of God, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." There are consequences for being disobedient to the Lord. The Bible is right about obedience. As I close, I say this. Don't allow yourself to be like the king, like King Saul. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in trying to help God out, as if there is ever a time that God was not really sure that he meant what he said when he said what he said. Let me say that again briefly. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in trying to help God out, as if there's ever a time, or will ever be a time, or has ever been a time that God was not really sure that he meant what he said when he said what he said. Don't try to second guess God. Don't try to add to God's word. Don't try to take away from God's word. Don't try to reword God's word. Don't try to rewrite God's word. Don't try to revamp God's word. Don't try to realign God's word. Don't try to outfox God. Don't try to outmaneuver God. Don't try to outsmart God. Don't try to outwit God. Don't try to circumvent what God has said. Simply set out to hear and render obedience to it. It comes down to being as simple as this. When you talk about the subject of obedience, just listen to what God has said and do it. It is really no more complicated than that. It's no more complicated than that. Listen to what God says to do and do it. What all does this involve? I'm so glad you asked. It involves obedience to the gospel. Listen to what God has to say and do it. It involves obedience to the gospel of Christ. It involves believing that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. That story should cause you to have a change of mind or repent of your sins. It should cause you to want to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and then cause you to want to be buried in water for the remission of your sins. What are you talking about? I'm talking about being obedient to the word of God. I'm talking about hearing what God has to say and do it. And when you go into that water and are buried, some things happen. Your sins are washed away. You now will have the answer of a good conscience towards God. All of this is part of being obedient to his word. Your old self is buried. You contact the blood of Christ. An operation takes place. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of this is part of being obedient to God. When you come up out of the water, you are added to the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the family of God. Now you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All of this is a result of being obedient to God. And Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, "Through none of those things which thou shalt suffer." He says, "Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But Jesus says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." I'll give thee a crown of life. This crown can only come by being faithful unto death. Being faithful unto death can only come as a result of being obedient to God, only as a result of practicing obedience to God. What is obedience? It is simply hearing what God has to say and doing it. That's what it boils down to. Obedience to God, hearing what the Lord has to say and doing it. No more complicated than that, friends. If you want to make heaven your home, you're going to have to render obedience to the Lord. And it starts with rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ, hearing what the gospel says, and doing it. I thank you for your attention this evening. And if you're falling away from the Lord, come back to him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And that involves, my friends, obedience. the Bible is right about obedience. And with that, I turn you back over to our host, fellow minister, best friend, Brother Tommy Brooks.